Hey, what are you listening to?
Oh, you didn't get that?
Get what?
Themnutspodcast.com.
Welcome to Them Nuts Podcast Show, hosted by comedians Darius Campbell, Ray Chung, and Matt Cole. Also, Bucky, the executive producer, and the producer, Luis Gomez. You can check us out on all your social media networks.
Are we on? We're good? Oh, we've been started. Yeah, okay. We never know when we start. We don't have an action pause.
It's nothing that goes. Gonna fucking beep already. You just started it. All right.
Yeah, this is how the puck.
Yeah, I thought it was out of juice already.
No, this is how it rolls, man.
Yeah, welcome to the professional podcast.
Yeah, professional. Yeah. Oh, wait, I miss you guys. It's been a little while since you've done one.
Happy Valentine's Day, man.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah. We were good.
You guys actually have real Valentine's Days.
Actually, no.
No? You both have chicks? You guys didn't do shit?
Yeah, but that's why you don't have real Valentine's, because when for me, I've been in there for a long time, so I don't fucking celebrate that anymore.
You get the kids candy and shit for Valentine's.
Fuck that. You got to send this shit to school with all that, so they don't. Okay. Yeah, that's their kids' holiday, you know, our newlywed holidays. Mm-hmm. Or that's that trying to get into pussy holiday. Yeah.
Well, you're not technically married. Oh, did you get married? Are you married now?
No,
saw
married.
Something. Were you on our knees doing something? I don't know.
Yeah, we went to LA and just fucking did a bunch of shit.
That's romantic, dude. Doing a bunch of shit. Yeah. Here's the thing: when you get a chick, man,
like, we were like in fucking Silver Lake and shit, so totally hipster shit.
Oh, good, yeah.
That's a total fucking Silver Lake's a cool city, though, man. You got a bunch of shit you can do. Like, we got like oysters. Then we went fucking.
Oysters do lead to fucking.
Yeah. Oysters and chocolate.
I think it leads to fucking because it gets that taste in your mouth. You're just ready to go back down. It's all milky and gooey. You could be on a fucking like period or like fucking yeast infections.
No one wants to hear about our fucking pathetic love life. How's your love life, Tom?
Yeah,
Tom. I don't do that shit.
You don't do love life?
You don't do love life? Okay. No. Well, first of all, who do we have on the podcast? What's your name?
Tom Goss.
Tom Goss. All right, are you gay? What's up?
No.
Okay, so you do gay. Like chicks.
I do.
Okay, but you don't do that shit.
Nah. Well, I mean, like, it's not that I avoid them. It's just that I'm doing comedy. And
comedy's your first love.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, now you had to say it all weird, but
Welcome to the podcast. We trap you in a room and say, where's shit
to
you?
First, comedy or pussy?
I mean,
would you take a great comedy?
Have you gotten laid?
I had a piece of pussy for 8 months, and then when she started the long, drawn out process of breaking up with me is when I started doing comedy.
You gotta kind of thank her.
So where's the answer? What do you like more, comedy or pussy? That's what we need.
I mean, it depends how horny I am. I like comedy better most of the time.
Okay. That's a fair answer from a young man. Because you're young. How old are you, man?
I'm 21.
Yeah, so sure. Yeah. Besides his hands, should be his best friend by now.
Yeah.
Think about it. He's 21 years old, man. He got the world in hands. How long have you been doing comedy for?
Not that long. Like, what, just 10 months now?
Yeah, going on, coming up on a year.
Coming up on your year.
A year, April 7th.
So you broke up with this girl about a year and a half ago. I hate to bring that back up to you.
We broke up in, what was it, May. I started doing comedy, and then, because I knew she was going to do it, and I was just, like, trying to save the relationship. Total waste of time.
You're trying to save the relationship by doing comedy?
Well, no, the comedy... People hated me in the beginning because I'd just go up and I'd bitch about her on stage.
You had to get an outlet, a cheaper outlet.
Yeah, and then after she broke up with me, I started hitting, my 6 to 10 mics a week, and I started really working at it. And
what were your first couple of jokes about?
Like, you know, I just bitched about stuff.
It wasn't jokes.
I had a couple people post on Facebook complaining, like, I hate it when comedians talk shit about their girlfriends on stage. Not saying it was me, but it was about me. At the time, I was like, oh, wow, that's a coincidence. I do that, too. Looking back, they were just talking shit on me.
So, okay, other than reading Robert Tran's post, like, who else was bitching about it on Facebook?
I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I think it's so funny, especially like the open mic scene. Like, here's the thing. Like, you're a brand new comic. You're coming. You're funny to your friends. You've never been funny to an audience before. And your fucking first or second time in, they're like, oh, fuck this guy. I'm like, I'm going to suck, man. Yeah. I don't know how to fucking write or tell a joke yet. I don't know what I'm doing up here. And it's just like this weird open mic mentality where it's like, they expect you to be like the fucking next Louis C.K.
right
2 months into comedy. And I'm like, no. Like,
well, I honestly, and people think I'm a dick for doing it. Honestly, if there's someone who's going for the first time, a lot of times I'll leave the room, and it's not because I'm trying to be disrespectful. It's like, if I watch him, he's terrible from the start. that's unfair. I'd rather, if he's still there in a month, then I'll watch him and then judge him off that. If you're judging him off the first time, which everyone does, I feel like that's unfair to the guy, and you're going to be bad your first time.
I always think the first time someone's on stage, they get the most support ever, and then it's their second time on stage, or like, oh no, fuck you. It's usually it's like, hey, this guy's breaking his cherry tonight, give it up, and then most people listen, and I'm like, oh, that was good, man, keep going at it. Yeah. And the second time on stage, he's like, no, you know what, maybe not all rape and dick jokes.
The first time, this wasn't my first time, like, grinding it out. I tried, like, doing comedy, like, a year before the last... when I actually, like, dug into it, and it ended with me, it was like a month and a half, and it ended me with quitting on stage during the first minute of my set at Max Bloom's. I just was like, you know what, I'm done. And then I just walked off the stage when my car drove home, didn't come back for like a year, and that was
he's like, I just kept going. He did a Forrest Gump. I'm just gonna run. I'm just gonna fucking run.
And I think it was Opie kept yelling, no, finish the joke. I'm like, I'm not finishing the joke.
You can't make me.
So Opie was already running Blooms at the time?
No, he wasn't running it. Connor was. Connor was running it.
I was like, shit, man, Opie's been doing that long. Yeah,
Connor was running it.
Finish the joke. Fuck you, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, no, in hindsight, that was like, I mean, he did it in a weird way, but it was a nice thing to do. He was rooting me for me in an aggressive way, but
like a father should.
Yeah. But and then when I came back, everyone who remembered that was kind of like, oh, this guy,
he's gonna run off again.
He's gonna
Someone take his keys.
Run away, bride. Run away, bride.
Stage off. We've seen this bit before. This is where you're not funny and you quit for a year and come back.
Knowing Blooms, they got a fucking like in the back. They're betting. Okay, what do you guys give him? Minute 30?
Yeah,
minute 45.
So what made you come back after a year?
The X. I was just like, I gotta focus on something else, and then. When I finally started like figuring out how to be funny, then it just became an addiction.
So now, did she tell you you should be a comedian or something like that before?
No. Well, I kept mentioning it. It came by like I kept mentioning like I should do comedy again. I should try comedy again. I should try comedy. And then finally, she was like, "Why don't you just do comedy? Stop talking about it." And then I did, and then that's just
she kind left of. You.
Yeah, she left me.
Maybe you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
So, no, what got you into comedy though, originally, though?
Oh, I mean, I was like, when I was 14, I just spent hours and hours and hours watching specials on YouTube and stuff. And
just 14, not 15, or just 14?
No, I mean, it started when I was 14, and then
who are you watching?
The first two comedians, I mean, it started with me. I checked out Robin Williams because I loved his movies.
Yeah.
And then I found Dave Chappelle, and I became obsessed with Dave Chappelle and moved from him to George Carlin to Chris Rock to all sorts of different guys.
So only black comedians?
You said Carlin?
Yeah, George Carlin's pretty black. George Carlin, Robin Williams are the blackest comedians out there.
Well, yeah, they are pretty black.
You know, they started Def Jam, man.
Yeah, yeah, matter of fact, yeah, they did.
I write the Wikipedia article for it, so I'll go edit that later. Nice. Anybody else? Anything?
Oh, I mean, you mean like other comedians?
You were naming comedians. I just wanted to watch you.
Well, I mean, it kind of just like there was a phase when I was a teenager where I got really into Christopher Titus, which...
explains a lot about your home life. Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else I was really into when I was younger. I mean, Louis C.K., everyone loved Louis C.K. Well, not everyone, but almost
everyone. Back when you were 14 watching him, he was a totally different act, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I actually really enjoy his Live in Houston stuff. Like, I really enjoy the bizarre type of comedy. I'm trying to think what other comedians I listened to a lot when I was younger.
Do you think that's impactful?
Yeah. This is...
No, let's play this game. Keep remembering.
Yeah.
We'll be silent for 30 seconds.
7 years ago. You're just waiting.
Just keep going.
This is going to be a great podcast. Yeah, just keep forgetting what you love when you were a child.
Have those comics impacted any style, anything that you bring to the stage or anything?
I mean, I'm sure they have, but... I don't really see the comedian that I get compared to the most is
Sam Kennison.
Actually, you're the main guy. He introduces me. Come to the
Matt
stage.
Cole?
You can't no, Matt, Matt, no.
Yeah. No, he goes, no.
Yeah, he stole that. Whoa.
No, Vexel introduces me on stage as the ghost of Sam Kennison every time. Actually, Sam Kennison was another guy I watched when I was younger. I get Doug Stanhope the most.
You get Stanhope a lot?
I get Stanhope a lot. I get Burr a lot. I've gotten Lewis Black recently, which I've never really watched him.
He's just like a jittery, angry Jew on stage.
It seems like whenever someone sees someone who screams on there's a moth that flew by and every single one of you just starts staring at the moth.
Oh, what's this? Where are you calling this? The ADD
podcast. Is that a butterfly? Is that a moth? Can I
sit here like, hey, trying to catch a breath?
Anything shiny, anything moving around?
Yeah. Don't make any sudden movements.
Yeah. That was just funny how you guys all look the exact same time. But, yeah, I get Stanhope the most. I get Burr. I get Black. I get Louis C.K. sometimes, but not.
Really?
I think it's weird, too.
You are loud. You do yell a little bit, and you like to rant.
Some
of your best sets where you were like, well, what was the... It was the Rio's gone now, but you did a Rio set. You were on some cheap... What was it?
I had 6 mini bottles of Fireball.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And several Klonopin.
No, what's Klonopin, by the way? Is it?
Klonopin is like, it's like Valium or, like Ativan or,
okay.
What are those?
Yeah. I know what Valium is. Yeah, I know what that is. So,
like a muscle relaxer or something?
Yeah.
No, it's not muscle. It's, benzodiazepine, I think is the word.
Putting out drugs. Like, what are they for?
They're for anxiety attacks.
Anxiety drugs.
Yeah.
Fireball and anxiety.
Ooh.
Well, no, it takes away, it's basically like if you were to give it's emotional oxycodone is how I describe it. It's.
So you were on anxiety pills and taking many.
Yeah.
Many Fireball shots.
Yeah.
So did you bring us all a sample?
No, you guys didn't ask.
You're not studying pharmacy right now. You know what you're about. Like you should.
You've heard my blue balls bit, right?
I don't listen to a lot of people on stage anymore.
That's fine.
I've heard your blue balls.
Yeah, no, I still have the codeine from that.
Oh, really?
I do. Yeah.
So you're trying to say you had blue balls?
Yeah,
don't you just jerk off if you have blue balls? Yeah, like, yeah. Why do they give you codeine for like?
It's a full on bit I have. But basically, what happened is when I was first getting with my ex girlfriend, we didn't have sex for like the first 3 weeks. So I got major blue balls, right. And I didn't know it was blue balls. I thought I had ball cancer. So I went to the doctors, and he prescribed me codeine.
Well,
the
first thing I would do when my balls start to fill up is take care of it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
I was afraid.
Where'd you find this doctor? On fucking Craigslist? What the fuck?
No, it was Oso Medical Clinic.
Shout out to Oso Medical Clinic.
And yeah, no. What he did is, I mean, he had to feel my balls. He's like, they're swollen. So we'll give you codeine. And an ultrasound.
Ultrasound your balls?
Yeah.
What was your copay?
Huh?
I don't remember. That sounded like a stripper.
Was it a chick? She just like, they just like, it just gel it up and just ultrasound? Like
no, it was
baby,
an
like,
awkward man.
Did your picture take this?
He was a younger doctor. I may have been one of the first.
Did you use the codeine? Did you actually use it?
Yeah, sometimes.
No, for the blue balls.
No.
So you saw it was like full of BS.
No. Within like 48 hours of that doctor's appointment, I beat off, and then
like, oh.
And then I was like, oh fuck, this is not ball cancer, which it wasn't. But yeah, I have a it's a full on bit that I have about that whole experience.
She should have left the girl. Yeah. For 3 weeks. I never even had blue balls.
I didn't know it was a thing, but it was my first girlfriend, and I wasn't.
Oh yeah, so you were being committed to her.
Yeah. No, I mean, I really liked her, and she was a friend prior to the relationship, and like, you know, it's her whatever. So
yeah, you
I
got mean, feelings, the worst of them all.
Yeah, I mean, why not? It gave me a great bit. I mean, that's
yeah. But why were you having blue balls at the time?
Yeah. They really are.
Yeah. So it wasn't. Yeah.
And that was this the one that you left?
No, she left me, but I like your thinking.
No, okay, good.
Yeah, she left me.
Thought you left her for comedy. Yeah.
No, she left me for, I guess I was just too crazy. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what. She's...
Well, we'll get into the incident in a moment. Did she leave you before or after that incident? Before it? Or
before.
After? Okay, cool.
Before, yeah. But,
this is going to be the awkward, like, where are we going? Where are we going with this?
We'll bring that up in a second. I didn't know where, like, at what point. Cause
yeah, no, it was before, but, like, I was still dealing, you know, I've been dealing with shit since I was, you know, real young. So it's not like it came out of nowhere. Like, you know, she saw all sorts of shit that I was going through. I was hospitalized during the relationship, and that's a weird day in any guy's life when you have your girlfriend visiting you in a psych ward, and that's...
You got 5150'd?
I've been 5150'd quite a few times.
Is that because of your Buddhist upbringing?
Probably, okay. Probably, yeah.
No, are you the only child?
No, there's four of us.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so Buddhist Mormons. All right, that's...
Yeah. That and then five,
all boys, all
five
girls?
On my dad's side, he's 18 years older than me. He's a half-brother, and he has kids. I'm an uncle, technically.
Yeah.
Explaining that like you guys don't know how uncles are. Yeah.
thank you for clearing that up for us.
But yeah, no, there's four kids that we have in the household, and then I'm the oldest. And they're all much more normal than I am.
The oldest here, it's like the joke about the pancake. The first one's always fucked up. The other ones are good.
Yeah, I'm the fucked up pancake for sure. My other sister's in a 4-year university, and the other one's really funny. I wish she'd do stand up. And then my little brother is very smart. And then I'm, you know, talking about blue balls on stage from being too dumb to figure out I needed a beat off to save a medical trip. But, yeah, no, it's
I'm going to start any pain in my life that I'm going to jerk off first just in case.
Yeah, yeah, I think before any decision, you should do that. The other day, it was like 2 days ago. What are you gesturing?
Yeah, what is this, dude? Fucking charades?
Yeah,
what,
yeah.
What,
I'm like, what the
you just kept going.
The mic thing's right there on the table. You forgot here.
Okay, that's
awesome. Cool, man. Wow. I'm so glad we got in the middle.
We mentioned professional podcasts at the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. ADD, because you guys are talking him out of you.
We record.
Yeah, that's right. The moth.
Where's
left.
That fucking
we
moth?
We don't know.
Yeah. Come back, moth.
Moth.
Wait. Yeah. So wait. Why are you crazy? What type of crazy are you?
I've had quite a few hospitalized. Just like emotionally imbalanced.
Who's,
like,
who's hospitalizing you? Someone called in, or
no? I mean, a lot of times it's agreed. Like, okay, this is gonna be. I'm going to say it and then I'll explain. Soy actually has a lot to do with my craziness. I have a cerebral allergy to soy. So what happens...
It's soy's fucking in everything.
Yeah, so what happens is... I mean, that's not the... I have emotional, like, actual problems too. But when I eat soy, if I eat a little bit too much, I'll get depressed. I eat too much, I'll become psychotic.
Holy fuck, let's just get this guy some edamame. Let's do
this. It's not the fun, tripping, psychotic.
Can you sense it coming on? If, like, you had tofu? And, like,
yeah.
Do you start
looking
at knives in the house and thinking who you could stab, what, and where? Like, how psychotic?
No, I've never taken out on anyone else besides me.
That's no fun.
Man, is there soy in Coors Light?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
There's rice in it. That's everything.
Oh, shit. No. Yeah, no soy in Coors Light, but yeah. I mean, and I have other, you know, it's not like the only issue, but it's all emotional. Like, it's fallen into psychosis and stuff like that.
So is it like a brain chemical thing? Or?
Yeah, it's a chemical thing.
Is serotonin off whack? Is that what it is?
I think it's more dopamine, but serotonin.
I was just trying to think of the one chemical.
Yeah, I think you were shooting.
Back to biology. What the fuck's in my brain? Synapses.
You were
shooting
for that motherfucking star. So you're on stuff regularly just to keep you balanced right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm only on Wellbutrin right now. The antipsychotics are fucked. I gained like 40 pounds in 6 weeks on one
using
of them.
That is what I'm using for this look. I'm using that.
Yeah.
What's the name of that again? What's the name of the drug? Antipsychotic medicine. That's why I put on all the pounds.
Respirdol was the one that...
It's called cholesterol man. Yeah.
It's called cholesterol.
Cholesterol, yeah. I'll remember that for sure. You really know way too much about medicine, so this is like an actual part of your life then.
Yeah, no. In high school, I didn't go most of high. I did it because I was always in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
When was your first episode or whatever?
I was 14. It was around
the same time.
It was around the same time. I actually went to boarding school when I was a freshman because before all this happened, people viewed me as an intelligent young man with potential.
So, did you think puberty fucked your brain up or what?
I mean, it didn't help because you got all sorts of chemicals going all over
you. You were a pretty normal kid, and then 14 hit.
I would say I was a normal kid, but so, I was.
It's okay,
I mean, we can't talk what we did to small rodents, but
because even at you said an early age, you went to boarding school. So
I was a freshman in high school. I was a boarding school, but it wasn't like a disciplinary boarding school. It was a like smart people, athlete, co-ed boarding school. Actually, the same high school my mom went to.
Okay,
the last day I had there was Valentine's Day. Like, yeah, you can either stay and we'll kick you out, or you can leave. So
one option, you just can't come back.
Yeah. So that was my last day there. But it was at that school where I started.
It was an all boys school, right?
Nope.
No boarding
co-ed.
School. Oh wow, I didn't know.
Co-ed. It would be weird if it was all boys school, and that's the same school my mom went to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're Buddhist, so it's
there is that transsexual Buddhist stereotype.
Yeah, so now you grew up Buddhist, or is this something new to your mother?
No, both my parents met at a Buddhist meeting.
Oh.
Yeah, they're super Buddhist. They are very into the Buddhist stuff.
They meditate and all that stuff?
Did they chant? Yeah, they chant every day.
So hence all the soy allergies. Isn't everything like fucking soy-based? And
well, I mean, we're Buddhist, we're not Asian, we're not from like Japan.
That's right. You're not Asian.
Yeah, what nationality are you?
I am all of the major countries that were involved in World War II besides Japan. German.
I'm rolled up in one.
Mostly German and Irish.
Moroccan. Algerian.
Also a lot of English and Scottish, some Danish, Italian.
And your parents chose Buddhist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's
different. No, it's weird.
It's different.
Yeah, it's really very different. It's very
very peaceful religion though.
I know, I don't belong. Yeah, no, but it's a cool community. It's a lot of really great people, a lot of really nice people. But then there's always me kind of just loud and opinionated about shit that
I'm just funny. I'm gonna say, man, like you're one of the harder grinders in the scene. You got some funny bits when it comes to it too, man. So
yeah,
it's working to your advantage in comedy at least.
Yeah. I haven't talked.
That was a compliment. You have to. Yeah. You can be like, thanks, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks, Fred. Sorry.
This is where they make fun of me for verbally sucking off our guest's dick.
It doesn't matter what type of guest we have. He's gonna do it. His ball
now. I like to give positive reinforcement. We don't get that a lot in this fucking business.
We don't make sure that you have blue balls around here, okay?
I've talked to this guy so much, it's about time I say something nice to him, right?
See, that's a good point.
He didn't recognize it when you were giving him a compliment.
Yeah,
he was like, fuck you.
Yeah, he just thought you were being sarcastic.
No, it's interesting because most of the comedians in the scene give me shit, and I tend to always find a way to break them before they break me.
That's part of being a comic, man.
Which I enjoy, yeah.
It's you're diffusing the situation before it comes up. I don't want to talk about situations, so we don't want to get to the specifics, but you did try to off yourself. How many months ago?
It was It was September 12th.
Just to say September 11th.
Yes. It was the day after
9/11.
Yeah,
2014.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Really.
So, how many? Because I know I've said shit about it, and I razz you a little. How many other comics have razzed you about it since it's happened?
Most of them. It's
all of them. Yeah.
But the truth, though, like in the comedy scene, if somebody's not talking a little shit on you, that's kind of how we show love in a weird, fucked up way.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. Most of the time, sometimes people are genuine, but usually. It's not your fault when they're like genuinely mm-hmm. pissed at you from what I've noticed. But a lot of the time it's out of, you know, it's out of just like, oh, I'm glad you're not dead. And then it still gets irritating sometimes. It's honestly, it's more offensive when it's not funny. That's like honestly, when I came back to the scene, like second weekend, I was like, is my suicide attempt hacky right now? Like it was like
everyone's doing it.
Everyone.
How did everyone know that you committed to try to commit suicide? Did you post it on Facebook? Like,
there was no. I posted it on Facebook. I posted
on Twitter.
I posted.
I saw it on Facebook.
Well, no, I didn't say I was. I said. This is gonna sound fucking dumb out of. Well, it was dumb, but it's just sound dumber. I posted, I love you all, I'm sorry, on my Facebook. And then everyone was like, he's gonna kill himself. So I don't know. My dad, when he talked to me in the hospital, was like, I don't know how they all knew. Because if I saw that, like, it wasn't
we've seen your sets, man. We knew what
was
coming.
Yeah, no, I thought that everyone was gonna be like, oh, there goes, is he, Tom's being weird, until afterwards. I didn't think that was enough information.
Yeah, just saying, hey, I love you, a Facebook.
Oh, cryptic message on Facebook? Come on, like, what people wouldn't pick up on that more than comedians?
Dude, I think we need a Dan Brown to write that right there.
It's probably like everyone's thought before too. They're like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but there was like, it was ridiculous because the Facebook. But my dad said that, you know, if you take out the whole part that you try to kill yourself, it's pretty funny. Like, it's pretty funny how, like, because the way people went about it was like one friend. Like, people would be like, does anybody know where he lives? And then one friend was like, I know where he lives, but I'm really fucked up. Someone pick me up. We'll go find him. So they're doing like...
It became a scavenger hunt to save me.
Yeah. It was like Harold and Kumar try to find Tom. Like, it was just...
That sounds like a great movie.
Yeah. No, it was like I saw it. Facebook actually took it down. Eventually, Facebook did, but they took it down.
Fuck it, we're not gonna give you any more clues.
Yeah, no. The other thing that I thought was funny is when I logged in, which was like I didn't have a phone for like 3 weeks after it happened because I was in the hospital. When I finally did, Facebook was like, please contact Suicide Prevention Hotline. Like, it didn't allow me to log into my regular shit. Yeah. I was like, yeah, Facebook, you're running a little late. Yeah. I don't think we're going to, like, yeah, you guys missed the train. But, I mean, that was nice of you to try to tag along. But,
how'd your parents take all that shit, dude?
I mean, they've been, it's really rough for them.
Yeah.
You know, and I always feel bad about it. But they've been dealing with it since I was really, you know, really young. So, like, I don't want to say they're used to it.
Yeah.
But they know how to handle it. And I'm really lucky that they're so good at handling it because I've seen, I mean, I've been hospitalized over a dozen times. And I've seen, it started when I was 14, and I've seen parents who just don't give a fuck about their kids. And I'm really lucky. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some really unfunny, fucked up stories that I've heard in there because it's all the worst of the worst, you know. But, I'm really, really lucky and thankful that I have parents who were able to handle it and able to still, you know.
Random question, because I know comics. I mean, deep down, we're dark. We're a little fucked up.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're not the whole right. You belong to a community now, comedians, right?
Yeah.
You saw we all kind of showed love for you and that. Did that kind of help at all? I mean, because, like, honestly, since that happened, and this is really fucked up to say, you've gotten funny, man. I mean, I don't want you to think, like, that's what you need to do to get funnier for what, like...
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Backtrack.
Yeah, no, I'm not... I mean, thank you. I'm not going to go around and start trying to kill myself once a week to get a new bit. It's not, you know.
Okay.
I mean, I also think...
So I don't have any material. What can I do? Oh, I know.
Yeah. No, I was actually... I mean, that's the thing is, like, I think that helps. I think what helped was, like, there was a lot of, like, negative tension that was released to that whole ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed me more room to just look at life and try to find funnier, you know, because when you're that depressed, I didn't leave the couch for a whole month leading up to this. Like, I didn't shower. I didn't leave. Like, it's gross. Like, I was like,
how's your siblings
feel about it? The way you're dressed and looking right now. Should we be worried or
no? This is me active.
Jesus.
How's your siblings take all this?
You know what's bad? I was hosting Anchor Bar a couple weeks ago, and Daniel Eaches did a set, and I was just wearing jeans and a ratty T-shirt, and Daniel goes, "Oh, you dressed up to host today." But I don't really, you know.
You don't really give a fuck about
Jordan. No, I mean, are you going to judge me because you don't like my shirt? Go fuck yourself. I don't really give, you know, it's just...
Hey, no, but your siblings, though, and how are they taking all this?
I mean, it's tough for them, too. It was easier to hide when they were younger, and now it's kind of like, I don't know what they know or what they think they know or what they don't. I really don't know, but I think it's kind of just like, well, here goes Tom, a little crazy again. You know, he'll, you know, I think my family's kind of learned to just be like, well, this is kind of like, just like a family would deal with like a heroin addict. I know that's a weird thing to compare it to, but like he's gone through shit. You know, we got to just give him to the doctors, let him tinker with his brain. Sorry, I had to
get it out. Get it out.
And then hopefully he'll come back better. You know, and that's just kind of, you know, I mean, I had so many hospitalizations. A lot of times my brother and sister are like, ah, we'll just visit you next hospitalization. Like, no. Like it's not.
We know you're going back, so yeah.
But I'm hoping it's weird because this was the first
holidays. I can see him before that. Yeah.
This is the first hospitalization. Was like, I'm gonna be back in a week. When they let me out, and honestly, now I feel like maybe that was my last one. Like,
good, man. Yeah. That's good a good hear. Feeling.
Yeah, yeah, no, because and I don't, which is good because I'm getting older, and my insurance is going to change, and it's going to. So,
I'm looking at it for a cost.
Yeah.
My last one will be before I turn 24.
Yeah, no, it's weird too because I've gotten there's a lot of funny shit that happens in there, but it's tough because like with comics, you know, have a darker sense of humor. But it's tougher with regular people to talk. You know, I had a bit when I got out of the hospital. My first set, I just talked about the hospital the first time. I opened with you guys may have been on social media lately. You may have seen someone hacked my Facebook, and like I just started from there, and I just talked about the hospitalization and stuff. And they loved it. They were eating it up, and everyone was like, "You got to keep doing those bits."
What are the hilarious points of it? Well, first off, you're being honest on stage, which is huge.
Well, before I was funny, I got the honest part before the funny part, honestly, mm-hmm. which is backwards, I think.
I think it's the best way to go.
Yeah, no, even, well, I mean, sometimes I was, like, pseudo-honest, but I was always, like, mm-hmm. trying to be honest. But it was, well, I mean, like, something that happened the last hospitalization was, and I turned this into a bit, and the reason I had to stop is because regular people get creeped out. We start talking about trying to kill yourself and whatnot, but when I was there this last time, it's my favorite mental hospital because they had unlimited pudding. They had no. It was
no reason.
It's a yeah. No.
It was great until Bill Cosby came in.
Yeah. No. Fuck Bill Cosby. That pudding's delicious. Yeah. I love that pudding. But the problem was there was a lady who had a psychotic break, trying to kill herself in the hospital by shoving pens up her nose. So they're like, oh shit, they can do that with spoons. So we had to like.
So you got to start licking the pudding.
Well, no. Like, we had silverware during meals, and then they wouldn't let us, like, have regular silverware. So what I started doing is after every meal, I'd grab a pudding with a spoon. I'm like, oh, I'm just eating a pudding. I walk out with it, eat the pudding, and I'd store the dirty spoon in my dresser drawer, and I just kept storing spoons. I had, like, 16 dirty spoons just chilling in my drawer. And I told my mom was like, you got to give them the spoons back. They find the spoons, they're going to keep you here longer.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
And I'm like, no. No, I'm not going to give them back.
It's like an episode of Hoarders at that point.
No, no, it was like a stance. Like, you can take my freedom. You can't take my spoons. But I told my mom, like them finding the spoons isn't what's going to keep me here longer. What's going to keep me here longer is me going up to a random psychiatric nurse with 16 dirty spoons, putting them in his hand and going, these are for you now. That's what's going to keep me here longer. Fuck the spoon.
So how many spoons did you end up keeping?
It was like 18 when they found them. Yeah, then they found them. And they're like, oh, you can't keep these. They took almost all of them. There was so many they actually forgot one.
I win.
And I was like, well, part of me was like, after they found them, I was like, hey, you know, that whole time I could have killed myself and I didn't. So, like, could you just give me the fucking spoons back? And, like, that's one thing kind of nice about that place is there's so many people who are, like, psychotically aggressive that I could be honestly aggressive and them not be like, yeah, he's... a dick, you know. Well, I mean, I'm sure they were, but like they knew how to handle it. So I could be like, give me my fucking spoons back.
How much like it is like every time I think of like mental warts, I think of like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that old fucking movie from the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's really accurate. It was the 1950s and Jack Nicholson was still 17. But
honestly, dude, like are they still just cutting into your brain? Are they shock treating you?
No, like, actually, there's like three different occasions they want to give me shock treatment, and because you can have brain damage. That's the drawback. It can work.
Did you instead do it for like the Pray the Gay Away? How did that work then? Because is that the reason they shock people these days? Is it in Utah?
Well,
it's a method of curing homosexuality.
We're not in Utah. We're normal people. They don't.
I didn't know they still shock people to begin with, dude.
Yeah, no, they do. If you're chronically depressed or whatever, they
shock the shit out of you.
Well,
that's supposed to help with depression. Like,
well, no, what it is pretty much. This once again goes to how much I know about this shit. It's almost like rebooting. No, I've refused every time.
You can take the they give you an option.
I didn't think you had a choice. Yeah,
they give you an option.
No, I mean it depends on the situation. It's all situational. It's all kind of up to the doctor. But basically, what he said is like, hey, we're going to try you on another med. If the med doesn't work, then we highly recommend shock treatment.
Let's shock the shit out you. And then
yeah, well, it doesn't. I guess it doesn't hurt anymore. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Beautiful Mind. They're like fucking electrocuting the dude. It looks like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's more like it's just like a buzz. I don't know. I've never seen it. But basically what is it? It's resetting. It's like resetting a computer. It's like restarting a computer. So what they're hoping is getting all that malware out of there. And then they put you on the meds. And they're like, hopefully we can just get you on the right start so you don't fall back into the thing. Because what they say is that depression technically only lasts 6 months. Like if you're depressed, it should only last 6 months. Past that, there's something else going on besides a chemical imbalance. There should be some sort of better, yeah, or you have some sort of trauma or whatever. So that's what they said. So it's supposed to only last 6 months, and then it could start again.
Right.
But it should only be 6 month increments. So that's kind of they're like, oh, maybe there's something wrong with your hardwiring, so they'll shock you to kind of restart the computer. And it actually works most of the time. The only drawback is it could cause memory loss.
Oh, shit, that's awesome. So, dude, it's just like, I mean, it's like every fucking time I go drinking, I remember half the night anyways.
Yeah.
So I could just shock you actually, like, choose which memories to lose?
No, this isn't Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind. This is.
Who do you want to lose?
Well, first off, you're coming at me like an asshole. First off, I don't think anybody here understands what a mental hospital looks like other than patterned walls and the shit we've seen from all those old
movies.
Actually,
it just looks like a regular hospital.
It's hard to. Each one's a little bit different. The one I was in this last time was very nice.
Fucking endless pudding, yeah.
Yeah, no, it depends on. It really depends on the hospital. I went to one. The first one I ever went to was in Aurora, and I got wheeled in, and I didn't know where I was. They're just kind of like, oh, we're putting you in an ambulance. I'm like, okay, I just thought you were going to recommend a doctor. I go to San Diego. They open up these – every single one has these giant wooden double doors that they have, like, magnetic locked and stuff. Mm-hmm. They open the double doors. First thing I see is them dragging this girl across the floor, and I see her trying to grab on the floor, and her fingernail flies up. That was the first thing I saw. I was like, this is not a doctor's recommendation. What the fuck? What is going on? And then, like,
Dr. Kevorkian.
The nurse was like, sit here. I was like, okay. And then a half hour later, she came back. She's like, so you know where you are, right? I was like, no, I have no fucking idea. No one told me where I am. She's like, oh, well, you're in the adolescent neuropsychiatric unit in Aurora, California, something along those lines. I was like, okay. And they're like, you know the rules? Like, no, I don't know anything. And basically, you can't touch any of the other patients. They can't touch you. There's no, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's what's tough about it. And there was a guy in the last time who's been to jail. And when he got there, he was like, this is like a hotel resort. This is awesome. I had to spend.
No, go on.
I had to spend like 3 weeks in jail. This is not a. And then by the third day, he was going absolutely insane.
Jeez.
Because.
Shut the dog.
What he said the difference was is in jail, he knew exactly when he's getting out. In the hospital, they don't tell you.
Oh, wow.
While they're pumping you full of drugs at a higher rate than you would outside the hospital. So you're getting pumped full of all these drugs that usually sedate you. And then you don't know when you're getting out. So it's this weird spoonless community where you're just fucking, it's an odd, you lose time in there. You lose time in there. The one that I was in specifically, they didn't have clocks up. It's
it's kind of like Vegas.
Yeah. Except there's no gambling, you know? And it's this weird, honestly, each one kind of feels like, oh, we're going to make this as tough mentally as possible. And when you can pretend to be normal, we'll let you out. That's what it feels like a lot of the times is like, we'll put you, we'll give you no, like, you know, we'll have my roommate, every 5 minutes would get up. He was there on a nicotine overdose. And,
you can do that?
Nicotine.
Yep.
Like just patches or something?
He put on like 50 patches or something.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I only saw that in the movie Thank You for Smoking. They threw all the patches on the guy. Yeah. Smoking. Oh, yeah. Whatever it is.
No, the movie's Thank You for Smoking.
Thank you.
Yeah. They make you watch it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they throw all the patches on him. And
yeah, no, well, anyway, every 5 minutes he'd jump out of his bed. He'd start like running around in circles in the room, leave the room, sprint down the hall, come back, get in bed, put the covers up, and I'd be about to fall asleep, but go do it again. And like,
Jesus, dude, that was your roommate?
Yeah, you can't just trip him.
You can't just put him on a track, let him run it out of his system.
There's no track. There's barely, you know, there's no track. Everyone is, you know, the other thing is all the other patients, even the cool ones, everyone's fucked up in some way. There's no one who's just like, yeah, I'm just here for the pudding. Like, everyone.
This is our third pudding discussion. What was your favorite flavor?
It was all vanilla.
It was only vanilla?
Ah, I like that.
Yeah.
He said he got a spoon in his pocket, ready to go.
Yeah, but no, the worst roommate I had, I was like 15 or 16. He was a chronic masturbator, and every time...
Yes.
And you didn't learn from him?
No, every... That's pretty good.
I bet he didn't have blue balls ever.
No, but every night I'd wake up to... And I'm like, hey man, what you up to?
How do you find chronic mass? Like, how often do you have to masturbate before it becomes chronic?
Yeah, I don't know. If I have to tell you to stop twice a night and you still try a third time, and then, every time I'd be like, hey, what exactly are you doing? Like, oh, I was just rolling over. Like, no one rolls over the.
So he was still embarrassed about it.
Yeah, that's why I think it was chronic, is because he couldn't, like, stop. You know? I mean, dang. That was my diagnosis for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stop, bro. I can't.
Yeah, no, I never, I mean, yeah.
Did anybody else find it ironic he's talking about chronic masturbation as the sex toy party rolls through?
Wish this was on video.
Yeah, I wish it was on video. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. But yeah, I had a roommate who was a chronic masturbator.
How do you fix that? Oh, you tie your hands behind your back? Like, how do you fix chronic masturbation?
I was not fixing that dude's chronic masturbation problem. That's not my job.
You're his roommate,
I'm
though.
I don't give a fuck. I'm not touching him. Is it a blood in, come out?
Is that like, how that works?
No.
Like, how I fix
it is I ask for a new roommate. I go, this guy won't stop beating off.
And maybe he gets
I'm all fucked up because that time specifically, I cold turkey withdrew off the medications they had me on. And I was putting on my tongue and stuff. So I didn't sleep for 72 hours. So I knew when he was beating off.
He must have been so mad at you. He's like, when is this guy going to fucking fall asleep?
That's the thing that
you kept interrupting him beating off.
Were you
off,
at least
dude?
Impressed? Was there anything like at the end? Is it just like air shitting out? Or?
I was impressed when he wasn't doing it.
Can he go to the shower?
Well, no. That he'd go to the bathroom sometimes. I'd just be like, dude, just wait till I get home. It's like,
did you eat vanilla pudding around him?
Yeah. They didn't have pudding at this hospital. It was a different hospital.
No, that wasn't vanilla pudding. Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah.
No, another weird one is the last hospitalization, there was the lady who shoved the pens up her nose.
Yeah.
She had, what was it, Parkinson's or something like
that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So she kept missing her nose because it was so shaky? Or?
No. But that, like, it triggered a psychotic break or whatever.
Oh, wow.
I think it was Parkinson's, and she, when she became, like, normal, when she, like, balanced out, I was talking to her, and she told me, she thought everyone in the hospital was a part of a zombie mafia organization. They were all plotting to kill her, And she was pointing out, like, oh, that guy was the leader. That guy was the chief. Wow. That guy.
It's like 12 monkey shit right there.
Yeah. I've had similar delusions. I mean, not with zombies or anything, or cannibals. And finally, I asked her, like, well, who'd you think I was? She's like, I just thought you were a rapist. I was like, you mean like a zombie cannibal rapist? She's like, no, I just thought you were. I was like, why would these zombie cannibals? Like, you know what I mean? We need a white, hairy guy who just rapes people. Like, couldn't you give me some sort of fucked up?
Yeah.
Like, you need a better backstory other than rapist.
Yeah.
It's like all these other motherfuckers are like deep, like conspiracy theory. Yeah. Naughty.
Yeah.
She's like, no, just a rapist.
Something for in her delusion, she's like, this is team of zombie cannibal mafia men.
And a rapist.
A beardless 21-year-old rapist is walking around this hospital. But she's like, I don't think you're a rapist anymore. I was like, well, I'm glad.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a very odd compliment to give, but thank you. Yeah, no, there was there's so many fucking weird things. There was a guy there, and he never knew where he was. And there was some other guy. He didn't shower. He was there for like a month. He didn't shower the whole time. Geez. He wore the blue scrubs pants, and they had it wore down by his asshole. That's how fucking wore down it was, and you could just see him walk and just dandruff just flake off into the air. And he was sitting there, and we were watching American.
Kind of what Ray's got going on with his hair today.
We were just sitting there watching American Ninja Warrior, and one of the guys was like, I want to go to sleep. And this dirty dude was like, no, we got to finish it. It's like, I just want to go to sleep. We're like, no, we're going to finish it. He's a real creepy dude. And then this guy, he's like in his 70s, didn't know where he was, just ran in with no pants on, threw orange juice all over the dirty dude and walked out.
Sorry, they're hanging up toys and shit in the back, so I'm just like tripping now. It's almost time to grow.
Yeah, I don't want to cut you off early. We do have a Bucky's sister's having a sex toy party in here tonight.
Oh, well, I can talk to them too.
Before we get out of here, though, you got any shows, anything you want to plug that's coming up at the end of February, March, anything like that?
March 16th, I'm hosting at the Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego.
Nice,
oh, nice. Good.
Yeah. And then March 28th, I think I'm doing the Venus Neon Arts Theater in Hollywood.
Okay. Y'all he heard Venus. He heard Venus. Venus,
yeah,
the strip club.
The strip club down the street.
No. Like it's like a really. It's like stages, but in LA.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And they do. It's just an improv theater. And then
awesome, man.
Those are, I think, all I really have coming. Yeah.
For our listeners, what social media? Where can we find you at?
Okay. Twitter. I'm at GossGoss6. That's my last name, twice the number 6. I only have a couple followers because I'm new to Twitter. But you can follow me on Twitter. And then where else? I have...
Facebook's Tom Goss?
Yeah, Facebook's Tom Goss. I'm wearing a plaid shirt in my profile picture. So look for Tom Goss with the plaid shirt. There's another... Tom Goss is like a gay country singer. He's the most.
No, he does. I got the gay porn star. He's got the gay country singer.
Yeah,
it's
no, he's his biggest song is called Bears, and it features all these hairy. Yeah. And that's his.
Is he in plaid as well?
No, I'll show you a picture of him. I almost thought about putting it as my back, my like cover photo. But basically, he has this picture of him like doing that part of the ocean pose, and there's like a clock covering his cock, and that's
clock.
Yeah, and that's
what you need to do is just have Matt do the same exact pose.
Yeah, we should do that.
If I remember correctly, his boyfriend, I watched one of the music
his
videos.
Boyfriend.
His boyfriend actually has a very similar build to Matt Cole.
Yes.
And get in there breaking that relationship.
By the way, comedy couple, we're gonna be the new power couple in OC, me and Tom.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Hey, do you have like a website? Do you have your own personal website yet?
I don't.
You know what you could do, man? One of our sponsors, if you go to dreamhost.com. One of many sponsors.
You guys have sponsors?
We do. Our major sponsor.
Wait, how many people listen to this?
the smoke signals we put out.
That's an arrogant question to ask at the end of a podcast.
we'll link you to all that stuff anyways. All
right.
Anyways, our major...
Don't worry about it, dude.
He never listens. But I think it's just me and Bucky and Darius that listen. Yeah. One of our sponsors, if you go to dreamhost.com, you can use our code comedy 595 uh-huh. and you get a free domain. So you could be Tom Goss, not the gay country singer.com.
That's what I want.
Yeah, that's exactly that's what you want. And on top of that, dude, it gives you unlimited just about everything. Domain hosting, bandwidth, data, email addresses. And if you even get the free one-click installs, if you want to like create your own website, we got WordPress available for you.
Okay.
And on top of that, if you suck at building websites, if you suck at everything, it's unlimited 24/7 support, and it's all for $5.95 a month. Again, the comedy code is promo code comedy 595. Go to dreamhost.com for that, everybody. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And I just now became a follower of the Goss 6.
The Goss
oh, really?
6, yeah.
I just got it. Yeah. Camp D's. So look for Camp D's, man. On
okay, the, yeah. I'll add you, yeah.
Yeah, so you yeah, got I'm, another follower,
I'm
bro.
New, I'm new to follow? Twitter. I'm still figuring out how to work the whole Twitter thing.
Dude, same way as your Facebook, man.
Yeah.
Same way as your Facebook.
Gotta get to it, man.
Yeah.
Darius, where can we find you coming up?
That's God, the picture. Yeah. That's the picture.
Oh, what did you get of Tom?
Tom Goss, yeah. That's the other one.
That's the other Tom Goss, yeah.
I don't even know. I don't think I have anything scheduled until March.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm out
well,
to
we
March.
Got going in March.
I'm March what? I'm with actually with Manny Ortiz. I'm
on his Sage
show.
Lounge.
Yeah, some new show that he's doing on Tuesday.
Okay.
Oh, March 3rd?
No, I'm on 7th. March
7th. Okay, I'm also there on March 17th. 3rd.
Okay, yeah. Shout out to Manny Ortiz. What are you, Ray? What you got coming up, buddy?
Got a Boiler Room down Garden Grove on Tuesday.
Tuesday what? This Tuesday?
Yeah, this Tuesday. So,
so we won't be releasing this.
Yeah. You might as well move that one.
It's a good room, guys. Dustin Willoughby runs it now. It's over there in Garden Grove.
Oh, he does?
Yep. It's a good spot to go to. Like all things, you can find me at all things at Matt Cole Comedy. Guys, come on out. We've got the Clubhouse show the first Tuesday every month down the Clubhouse in Placentia. And I'm starting up a new show every single Wednesday starting February 25th over at Hennessy's in Long Beach. It starts at 8 p.m. It's free parking after 7.
Laguna Beach, man.
What did I say?
You said Long Beach.
It's a Laguna Beach. Thank you guys for knowing my shit better than I do. That's awesome. That's anyways, Hennessy's in Laguna Beach.
It's a great
8 p.m. free parking after 7. It's a free show to get into. And we're really bringing out heavy hitters, man. Almost everybody has Comedy Central or big TV credits. It's gonna be a good show. And that's it for me. You guys want to wrap it up?
Yeah, we got basically our Them Nuts Podcast website should be coming out real soon.
It's up right now, guys. You can go to www.themnutspodcast.com. It's there's some content down there. There's some stuff. Yeah. We're still missing Darius's bio, so you know we're not missing much. so other than that, everything is just
it's in your Dropbox, so you might want to look.
For my bio, can I just make shit up? Because I don't have much of a bio.
Yeah, you
yeah,
can.
Dude,
okay,
he's
cool.
No, he's, yeah, thanks for finishing the show like that. Hey.
Like,
don't even look at the bio on
like
my
show. For your resume, if you could just give us a list of all the mental institutions you've been at.
Yeah, that's your fucking bio, dog.
I performed at Lucky Times.
I performed at Aurora Hospital.
Have you ever been to Fairview?
What?
Have you ever been to Fairview?
Is that a real place?
Yeah, it's in Costa Mesa.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, at least you missed
that.
Is that
a rehab, though?
No, it's a mental institute. Yeah.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's pretty huge. Yeah.
Wait, is it a permanent one? Because I've never been to a permanent one. I've only been.
I think it might be for.
Yeah, I'm not like criminally insane. I just have like fucked up emotionally type. How do I explain?
You're like, temporary.
Yeah. I mean, like I haven't tried to eat your dog or anything since I.
Well, that's Ray's gig. These can't do that.
It would taste good though. Good.
That explains all the smell.
All right, tell them once again who we have in the studio, man.
Tom Goss.
I'm Tom Goss. All right, this is Them Nuts, man, and we're out.
Thank you for listening to Them Nuts Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for new episodes and other Them Nuts productions. Be sure to like and follow us on all the social media networks and Podomatic.com, because we have got more to come.